you just don't know where opportunity comes from sometimes. So I think you just need to be out there as much as possible and doing as much as possible just to get your name out and about.
From The Copywriters, it's the Agency Life Podcast, a show that shares the stories, strategies and solutions for agency founders and employees, freelancers and entrepreneurs, so you can be less stressed and more efficient in your business. I'm Cody Shorter, and in this week's episode, I spoke with Tanya Williams, Chief of Everything at Digital Conversations. We got into topics like asking yourself what the worst case scenario would be, the importance to keep on learning, and why Tanya hates the word expert. You'll find links to everything mentioned in this show at www.thecopywriters.com.au/TAL5. Let's get into it. As always, I started by asking Tanya what she had for breakfast.
This morning I had yogurt muesli for breakfast. Very healthy.
Very healthy. I love it. So, Tanya, what's your story? Where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in a very small country town called Morpeth in rural New South Wales, and lived there pretty much my whole life, and then decided I needed a bit of a change after I married my fabulous husband, and I said I wanted to move to Queensland, and he said, yeah, sure, find a job, and I got a job in Cairns. I think I didn't think we were going to go that far north. But we've since come back to Brisbane. I've been in Brisbane for 11 years, but my background is in marketing, traditional marketing. I've worked in sales and media for many years, and then in the last sort of 10 years, it's been very much a digital focus, so working for agencies and various technology companies and so forth, and I really love that digital space.
Yeah, okay, awesome. So you run Digital Conversations. Can you tell me, you alluded to it there, but so how did that sort of come to be and what's that all about?
Okay, so it sort of came, it was like, I suppose, many business stories. It wasn't exactly planned. I was made redundant from a role and sort of went,
sort of role? Was that a marketing role?
It was a sales and marketing role.
Okay.
And I don't know, I didn't want to stay in something like that. I wanted to do something a little bit different. And I thought, what am I going to do? And I was offered a number of different sort of sales roles and so forth. And I went, I just don't want to go back to doing that. I don't want to go back to, you know, working for someone else and that sort of 9-to-5 grind and so forth. And then I went, you know what, there's really, I think, a space in the market for someone to help businesses understand how to integrate digital and traditional marketing. So I class myself as a tradigital specialist. So I work with a lot of recruiters, professional services and so forth, who typically have a very traditional style business and typically are quite slow to move in terms of adopting new technologies and innovation, and there's a big fear factor in that for them. So for me, it's around helping them establish how they need to get to the next point and really putting the right sort of tools and tactics and so forth in place to actually help them do that. So everything, yeah, the strategy piece all the way through to the execution and the implementation and even coaching and training for their teams as well. So it's sort of, I suppose, it evolved the business quite sort of naturally, I suppose.
And how long ago did you start Digital Conversation?
Oh, it's like 2.5 years, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Time flies quickly.
Yeah. So I guess if you can remember, take yourself back to that point where you were made redundant and you were sitting there or whatever it was, thinking about where's your next step and figuring out that you don't want to do the 9-to-5 grind working for somebody else. I mean, do you remember, was there sort of an influence like that led you to believe that you can make something, your own business, you can run your own thing? Or was there a friend or a family member that was doing it? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I mean, my family is not entrepreneurial at all. Like, my dad worked, he was a shift worker, he was a train driver. He worked very hard. My mum was a stay-at-home mum. Like, no one in our family is entrepreneurial. And I was always encouraged to do what I wanted to do. So it certainly didn't come from that particular component. I had a previous business which I had sold, which was an online shoe store. So I was in the e-commerce space for a while, and that's where I really sort of cut my teeth on digital, so to speak. So I had sort of done it before and sort of quite enjoyed it. But I think for me, I sort of went, you know what, if I'm not going to have a go, then I'll regret it. And I went, I said to my husband, the worst thing that can happen is I need to go back to work and find a full-time job. So for me, I was like, you know, I had a little bit of money sitting there. I went, you know, that's going to get us by for a few months while I set the business up really on a shoestring, because I didn't need a lot when it's a sort of consulting business. I just needed a really basic website and a few little things like that. So I went, I can set this up cheaply. I can get started straight away. And the risk for me was, this is the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario was, like, if it doesn't work, I go back to work. But obviously the upside of running your own business is so many advantages. I mean, it's stressful and uncertain and all those sorts of things, but the flexibility and being your own boss and really being the one that drives your own direction is, you know, is a pretty great feeling.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, totally agree. And I really like your approach to asking yourself, what is worst case scenario here? And yeah, like you said, the worst case scenario is you go get another job, like, and you know, you'd be doing that otherwise. So, and also, like you said, the upsides are enormous.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's really important when looking at anything, is going, well, what's the worst case scenario, and can I live with that worst case scenario? And then going, well, okay, well, it's you know, it's a calculated risk, I think. So, and I've taken that attitude, all, you know, for the last 2.5 years. It was like, you know, like, as you know, being in business, it's up and down and it's uncertain and there's good, you know, good months, bad, you know, and bad months, and it's trying to ride all that out and always be looking for opportunities. But I think if you've got the right sort of mindset and attitude around it, that does make it a lot easier.
And I'm guessing when you started, you didn't just start with a handful of clients. So how did you get your first few clients?
Look, I started obviously with my network. So I was meeting with people that I knew and had relationships with and saying, guys, this is what I'm doing. So for me, building strategic partnerships was really important. So people who I went, and I sort of sat down and identified where the gaps were with some of the people that I knew. I went, okay, well, they're doing this, but they've got no one that can actually help them with this particular element of the business, and that's where I can sort of fit in for them. So for me, strategic partnerships were a big focus. And just really getting the word out there that, hey, this is what I'm doing. And I think the first couple of clients that I had really came through that word of mouth within my own network. So friends of friends, you know, that had went, oh, you need to talk to Tanya about this. And so I find, you know, referrals are obviously really important. So I think it's always important to be letting your friends and family and people that are in your network know what you're up to and what you're doing, because I see so many opportunities for myself and even with other people that come from those sorts of things where you just don't know where opportunity comes from sometimes. So I think you just need to be out there as much as possible and doing as much as possible just to get your name out and about.
Yeah, for sure. And what you just said there around the finding where people are struggling, so I suppose it's where can you add the value instead of offering something of building something you're offering and then going, okay, everyone, look at me, look what I have to offer you. It's more you actually look at where they're struggling, look where you can provide value, and then go out and provide that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's a bit of a reverse thinking. And, you know, I've noticed in the digital space as well that, you know, there's a social media specialist on every corner and everyone wants to say that they're an expert. And for me, I went through a process and went, you know what, this space is becoming really crowded. I don't want to be just another one of those people. What can I do to distinguish myself, and what can I offer that's different? So I really sat down and changed a lot of the business direction in the sense of what sort of services and products I was going to be offering out to market. And I hate the word expert. I think,
why is that?
Because I don't think anyone is an expert. So for me, I think I might know someone, I might not know more than the person sitting next to me about a particular topic, but that still doesn't make me an expert on it, particularly when it comes to things like digital and technology, because it is so fast-paced and so quick-moving in terms of constant changes and updates and new things happening every single day that you cannot possibly across everything. And I think you can be quite generalist or a specialist in a particular area. But I hate the word expert or guru, because I don't believe anyone is. I think, yeah, you might be better at something than someone else, but I don't know, for some reason I have an issue with that word.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And so, Tanya, what's your approach to innovation within the business?
Look, for me, I think innovation is around always being open to new ideas and looking at better ways to do things. And I think what happens when you talk about innovation with a lot of businesses, particularly small businesses, is they think, oh my God, I have to spend, you know, thousands of dollars on fancy software and that sort of stuff. That's, to me, that's not innovation. Innovation is about change that is going to take your business forward, or you know, you might be I'm trying to articulate this in the best possible way. But it's about how you can change the way that you're thinking, how you can implement new tools or even small pieces of technology to make you more efficient and more productive in your business. So for me, I'm a big believer in always be learning, and I'm constantly on the lookout for new innovations and new technologies and so forth. So, for example, I came across an event that's happening later this week, and it's like a 3D virtual networking event. And I was like, wow, this sounds really intriguing. I want to know more about this because I'm really interested to see how this works. So I'm always going to new events and looking at new things and going, well, what's the next thing? What should I be aware of? What do I need to know for my clients as well? Like, what's going to be relevant for them? So
yeah, I like that.
Taking that approach to innovation is really important because I think that's how you really see changes in business.
Yeah, you touched on there that you love learning, you love to keep up to date. So if you had to recommend a book or a resource for someone looking to succeed in this industry or in any business or industry, what would that be? And you can name more than one.
Sure. I was going to say one would be really hard because there's probably a few. Look, I read a lot of books and love reading people's stories. So I know Philip DeBella wrote a great book that I read a couple of years ago, and there's, you know, a lot of great business people
that are... the coffee brand? Is that what we're
talking
about?
Yeah, DeBella Coffee.
Yeah.
And, you know, his story is really interesting in that he's... And I've interviewed Philip as well for a book that I wrote. And, you know, his story is really interesting. He started with, you know, $5,000 was basically selling coffee at the markets, and, you know, and then he sold the company for, what, $93 million or something crazy like that. So I love hearing people's stories. So two books that I really loved was Remarkability by Lorraine Murphy, who has the Remarkables Group, which is all around, you know, blogging and influencers and so forth. And I read her book last year and absolutely loved it. I thought it was just really relatable. Another one that I really enjoyed was one called Oversubscribed by Daniel Priestley. And it's sort of, you know, about how to get people lining up to do business with you rather than you chasing people. And I thought his take on business was really important. But, you know, there's plenty of blogs. There's so much information out there now where you can access and tap into great content. One that I contribute to is a community called Smallville. And Smallville is for small businesses thinking big. And a heap of us contributing to that and around all different topics in small business. So, and that's a free platform for people to access. So there's no excuse not to learn and be looking at how you can be improving in your business.
Oh, definitely. I haven't heard of Smallville, so there you go. I'll have to check that one out.
There you go. You'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it is hard, though, isn't it? I mean, like you said, there's so much out there, so there's no excuses. But that is almost a problem in itself, isn't it, that there is so much out there. And we're copywriters, and we're constantly writing blogs and articles for businesses. And so we're adding to the volume, and I mean, not everything is worth reading, not just our content, but it's very specific for maybe a niche or a particular business. But there's so much out there on building businesses, on how to grow. It's really about filtering through and finding the nuggets, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's a great word that you just mentioned there, filter, because I think there is so much available information. And this is what I see in digital all the time when I'm talking to businesses, is there's this overwhelm with it where they go, wow, there's just so many options and so many challenges that it's all too hard, therefore I'm not going to do anything. And I think that's the worst mistake that you can make. And I think it's really about looking at what you need for your individual business, really starting with the foundations and then building from there. And exactly, filtering out the stuff that's not relevant for you now. And I think that's the key, because you might go, hey, yeah, that's interesting about, you know, 3D printing or whatever it might be, but it's not really relevant for me now. It's on my radar. I'm interested in knowing more about it, but I don't need to be, you know, looking at developing anything in that space anytime soon. So it's really about, as you said, filtering through and going, what's going to be relevant for my business?
and your time, that time you'd spend on reading about 3D printing or whatever it would be, can be spent elsewhere on a much more important topic or resource for you growing your business.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Okay, so Tanya, what's an essential skill, trait, piece of knowledge to succeed in your industry?
Okay. There's probably a few, actually. So I'm a big believer in collaboration. I think collaborating with other people is really valuable. So whether they're a complementary business to you, whether they're a similar business to you and you can find a way to sort of work together, I think collaboration is a really great way of opening up doors and really sort of creating new opportunities. Another one is always be learning, which I sort of already touched on, but I think it's really important to develop as a person as well as, you know, a business, to always be learning new things. Like, you know, I've done my uni degree and I've done all sorts of courses and so forth, but, you know, I've recently gone back and I'm doing my TAE Cert 4 so I can deliver training at TAFE. So I'm just like, you know what, a lot of it, this stuff I've probably done from a practical point of view, but I have to go back and get the theory and so forth behind it. But I could have went, oh, you know, like, I don't need that, I know everything, which is, to me, a crazy attitude to have. But so I think always be learning, and, again, that opens up for opportunity. And probably another one would be to be looking outside your industry and looking at what's happening overseas as well. So I think people get so caught in just looking at their competitors and what's happening in their immediate environment that they forget to look at maybe what's happening in another industry or what's happening overseas, because we know that, you know, trends typically will filter down. So I think that's a great way to sort of look at, you know, innovation and you know, build new skills and get new knowledge, you know?
Yeah, cool. So collaborating and, yeah, just that hunger for always wanting to be learn and improve.
Yeah, and looking outside your industry, I think, is important.
And looking outside your industry, yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so Tanya, prior to the podcast, you wrote in an email to me that you're passionate about giving back. Why is giving back important to you?
I think it's just part of, I suppose, the attitude of gratitude that I have. So I'm a big believer in thanking the universe and being grateful for everything that you have, no matter how sort of big or small. So for me, I think it's really important. You know, as I've gone through my career, I've had people that have helped me out and introduced me to people or given me some work experience or, you know, given me opportunities to do different things. And, you know, without that support from those sorts of people, then I don't know if I would be in the same position that I am. So for me, it's really important to help not only develop individuals but help develop our industry. So, you know, I've been involved in mentoring programs. And I do a lot of digital coaching. I do a lot of digital training. And I do, you know, there's organizations like One Girl who are all about educating women in third world countries and those sorts of things. So where I have opportunities to help educate people who may not get access to that education normally or, I don't know, just to give back to the community in some way, I just think that's an important part of being a good citizen.
Yeah, makes sense. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, what's something, a habit, a routine, a process that you follow maybe daily, weekly, monthly that's changed your life and your business for the better?
Okay. I can't say that there's only one thing. I think I've tried and will always be trying new and different things to improve business. I try and, I suppose, spend at least the first hour of every morning doing little things, like I'll, you know, say some gratitude exercises and gratitude, you know, exercises, and really sort of sit and think, okay, what did I achieve yesterday? What do I need to achieve today? You know, are there new people I need to be reaching out to and connecting with? I think I've always been very mindful of being open to all opportunities. I think, you know, I had a conversation with someone recently and they're like, oh, you know, well, I'm not going to speak for free and I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do... And I'm just like, well, guys, that's a really limiting attitude because you just don't know what comes of some of those opportunities, you know. So I think for me, it's being open to opportunities and always be nice to everybody because, you know, you don't know who someone is. And I've been to events where there's been a really scruffy-looking character in the room and you think, oh, my God, who is this, you know, this person? And you start a conversation with them. And it turns out that they're highly intelligent, have a very successful business, you know, really well connected, or and you go, wow, like you obviously, you know, if you just judge people on what they look like, you know, you could miss out on opportunities. And I think if you're nice to everybody and just have that attitude of just being open to all sorts of opportunities, then I think, you know, that's where opportunities do arise as well. So I think sort of that's really important.
Yeah, cool. Being grateful and setting yeah. time up at the start of the day to reflect on, yeah, what's important, what you've achieved and where you're going.
And I think that's really need to celebrate all your wins, big and small. So one of the things I do regularly is I will make, I've got like little bits of paper that I'll write down great stuff that's happened during the week, and I'll put it in like a little shoebox. And then at the end of the year, I can sit down and go through and reflect on all the great stuff that's happened.
Oh, what a great idea.
Because I think you forget, right? So you think...
You definitely do.
And my memory's terrible at the best of times. So I think, geez, there's something good happened last week. What was that? So I try and take time to do that so I can sit back and reflect, you know, come the end of December and go, you know what, wow, there were some really great things that happened this year. And I think it's a really simple exercise for anyone to do.
That's great. I might have to try that one.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Tanya, looking at your website and your social media presence, you're obviously great at what you do, and you're everywhere, and you've got lots of resources out there, very helpful marketing. But how do you, if at all, how do you switch off from work?
Yeah, that's a good question. My husband would like to know the answer to that.
Right.
When I'm very conscious, and I have been, particularly in the last sort of 12 months, of getting that balance. And it is very hard to just to turn your brain off and not have to think about work or business at all. So, you know, like most of us, I've constantly got my phone in my hand and I'm checking emails and I'm on social media and I'm doing updates and, you know, we're doing all this sort of stuff. It is really hard to switch off totally, I must admit, but I literally have just come back from a week's holidays where we were at the beach and it was just fabulous, where I could just sit and I read lots of books and just sort of recharge the battery. So for me, my favourite place and my favourite thing to do is just a good book by the pool, you know, and depending on what day it is, what time of the day is, you know, a glass of wine to go with. And for me, that's a great way to sort of just switch off. And I think you really need to be mindful of when you do need a bit of a brain break. Like I know I fade at certain times of the afternoon. I go, you know what, I'm really not productive between sort of, you know, 3 and 5 p.m., sometimes I'll go, you know what, rather than fight against it, I'm just going to go and I might read some blogs or listen to a couple of podcasts or do something where it's just about sort of listening and taking in rather than me trying to do something, and spend that time more productively in that way. And then I'll, you know, working from home, I can just, you know, pick up, you know, at any time of the day or night. So I'm often at my desk at 6 a.m. in the morning or 9 p.m. at night. And I will just work my day according to what I think I need in terms of brain breaks and so forth. And I always joke about having little sunshine breaks. So for me, you know, I am a bit of a sun bunny. It recharges me. So I will go and sit out in the sun just for 15 minutes and go, you know what? You know, I know my to-do list is never ending, but I need 15 minutes just to sit here and recharge. Nice. And then I can come back in and get stuck into it. So I think... you know, just being crazy busy all the time actually doesn't get you anywhere. And I find that when I do have a decent break, it just recharges my mind. I'm able to think more. I come up with so many more ideas because I've just given myself some time to sort of breathe.
Yeah, and I think that's conditioning of our sort of environment as well, the 9-to-5 environment that a lot of people kind of get coached into and work through. And you're kind of expected to always be on between those hours, and working from home, it's a paradigm shift, and you're the one in charge. And I'm similar to you, and I spoke to our last guest on the podcast, Emma Barr.
Yeah.
We both get up early and work. Our best work is between sort of 5 to 9, 10 a.m. And it's amazing that you can get a lot done when most people haven't even really... They've just arrived to the office, they've made their coffee, maybe had a little team meeting, and they're only just getting started when you can have a whole day's work done, and then you don't have to feel guilty about having a couple hours off in the afternoon.
Exactly. You know, I'm the same. I'm a morning person, so I get, you know, I've been sitting at my desk this morning since 6 a.m. So, you know, that first sort of 3 hours for me, it was like, oh, my God, it's 9 o'clock, and look how much I've done already. Like, I've got... so much done, because exactly, you're not getting interrupted by phone calls, You're not getting interrupted by anyone else around you. You literally, you know, everyone's probably, as you said, still sleeping or commuting or whatever else. So it really is a productive part of the day for me. And I think if you identify that as a business owner to go, what's going to work best for me? And I've always been a big believer in make your own rules. You know, work, yeah, nice. Do what works for you.
Well, you're the boss, so why not, hey?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can argue with me.
Yeah, exactly. So, Tanya, if you had access to a magic genie that could fix any problem in your business, so your biggest problem sort of on an ongoing basis or right now, what would you have that genie fix?
That's a really good question. I think one of the things that I've noticed, which I think I would like to see fixed, is the consistent cash flow. You know, when you come from a salary position where the money just goes into the bank every single week and then, you know, things get taken out and mortgages get paid automatically and that sort of stuff, it's all great. But when you're running your own business and you're waiting for invoices to be paid and cash flows up and down and so forth, I think that just makes it even more challenging. Even though you know that, hey, all that money should be coming in.
Yeah.
It just, you being aware of, and I think I've never been as aware of money and spending and budgeting as I have in my own business. And I think because I have to be, right? But I was always just like, oh, you know, you just spend. it's there, it's in the bank, and you know, you sort of take that for granted. But it really makes you think about money differently when you're running your own business. And even if there is money sitting there, you think, okay, well, hang on, I need to make sure that there's, you know, money in the bank for this particular thing, or I need to redo the website, or I need to do this. So you can't just go and say, oh, there's 10 grand in the bank, let's go and blow it. Like, you really think very carefully about any money that you have there and what you're going to do with it. So that's been really interesting. Cash flow is important.
Cool. All right. Time for a few little rapid fire questions.
Okay.
If you couldn't live in Brisbane, where would you live?
Oh, New York.
Oh, nice one. At what time of the day, we already know this, are you most productive? So you'd say that 6 a.m.?
Yeah, really early, the early morning, yep. So 6 to 8 p.m., 8 a.m. is probably when I'm most productive.
Nice. Tea or coffee?
Tea. English
tea. Breakfast. English breakfast? Black with some milk, or how do you have it?
White with lots of sugar.
White with lots of sugar. Nice one. And if you could only use one social media platform, what would it be? Let's start personally. What would you use for your personal?
Personally, it would be Facebook.
And business?
Ooh, only one. That would be a toss-up between LinkedIn and Facebook, because if I had asked that question 12 months ago, I would have probably said LinkedIn. But given what Facebook are doing in that space and how the ability to really be targeted in terms of advertising and that sort of, like, what they're doing is pretty impressive. So that would be hard. That's a toss-up between the two.
You'd have to flip a coin.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Tanya, before we head off, is there anywhere our listeners can follow you, say hello online, or anything else you'd like to mention?
Sure. They can find my website, which is digitalconversations.com.au. But they can also find me on social media channels as well. So you can find me on LinkedIn. I've got a business page at Digital Conversations, and Tanya Williams is my personal page. Also Facebook. And you'll find me at Digital Tanya on Twitter as well. So I'm a big user of Twitter. So digital_Tanya is where you'll find me there. There's plenty of free resources and books and fact sheets and so forth on my website. So always happy to share those resources with anyone that's listening.
Awesome. Well, and to our listeners, all those links will be in the show notes over at the website. So anyway, Tanya, thanks so much for chatting with me today. It was a real pleasure.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to The Agency Life, a podcast brought to you by The Copywriters. Head to www.thecopywriters.com.au/TAL for all of our podcast episodes and show notes. My name's Cody Shorter, and I'll catch you on the next episode.